All right, turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 19. Real privilege and honor to be here. I don't take it lightly, I really don't. And by the way, there is candy. I am the candy man. So in the back, there's chocolate. There's Airheads for those people who are Airheads. And there are Ring Pops, okay? It's all in the back, adult candy and kids candy. That's how I roll, amen? All right, Matthew chapter 19. I feel like I'm going to eat this thing, amen. Did you ever get like that, Gus? Brother Gus? Your kids are way too big. I didn't realize you had five now. Lord have mercy. It's ridiculous. I do know this, that his wife is a saint. I don't know about Brother Gus, but anyway. Matthew 19, beginning verse number 13. And the message title tonight is, What Kind of Life Are You Living? And I think it's important to understand that no matter who you are today and how insignificant you think you are, somebody is watching you. And you don't think that? How about in your neighborhood when you miss church? And they want to know, why did you miss church? But you don't think they're paying attention. And I watch these little kids. Listen very carefully. I levitate to kids. That's my ministry. That's what I levitate to. I'm trying to reach them. I want them to have a desire in their heart to do what I do. I'm not getting any younger. And so anyway, all right. Matthew 19, verse 13. 19:13. I think I said 19:16, but I changed. Okay. I can do that. My wife is not here, so she can't yell at me. Amen. So it's fine. 19:13. And there were brought unto him little children, and he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. I don't know. I don't know if you read in your Bible sometimes and things stick out. I'm thinking, wait a second. You're both God and man, right? And you're saying, call no one good but God? I don't know. But what God is trying to get across to this man is it's humanly impossible to get to heaven without Jesus dying on the cross for your sin. And I'm going to be the way, but he's not even realizing that he's going to be the way, but he's going to try to get across his human nature right now. I don't know. I was born and raised Roman Catholic, went to 12 years of Catholic school, and the bottom line is, before I got saved, it was all about religion. It wasn't about relationship. Now, you listen to me very carefully tonight. You need tonight to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you're going to heaven. Not 99.9, 100%. So here we go. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments, and he saith, watch it, he's a scam guy, right? He saith unto them, which one? Which one? I mean, there's a lot of them, right? And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And every time I read that one right there, I'm convicted. Because I don't love my neighbor like I love myself. Like, sometimes I want to run a neighbor over. Sometimes I have neighbors' trees that come on my property, and all their leaves are on my property, and there's 50 bags of leaves, construction bags, and I want to dump the leaves over their fence in Jesus' name. Amen? But I'm supposed to love my neighbor. Sorry. I'm still working on that. Amen. I know you're perfect, but just adjust your halo tonight, would you please? Okay. Now watch this one. And the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Liar, liar, pants on fire. Why don't you just be truthful? Hello? But the Lord knows how to get somebody right between the eyeballs. And Jesus saith to him, if thou would be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. What kind of life are you living? Let's pray and we'll get started. Lord, we love you tonight. I'm thankful tonight that I got called into the ministry. And I'm thankful that you have mercy upon my life and grace upon my life. And I pray tonight that your Holy Spirit of God would speak to me and speak to every person in this room tonight. And help us to be able to be open to whatever you lead us to do. And I pray, Father God, that you wash me and cleanse me from all my sin. And I pray that I'd focus tonight on you and what you want to get accomplished. I pray if there's anybody here that's not 100% sure they're saved and on their way to heaven, I pray tonight would be tonight, their night. I pray if there's anybody here tonight who's never surrendered their life fully to you, I pray they do that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I need a couple volunteers. My man, pots and pans right there. Come on, yeah. You're good. Bro, how come you get going? Come on up here. Yeah, come on. Come on. Two girls right there. Come on. Double duty in the house. All right, here we go. And Alicia, one, two, three, or four? Four. Okay, you stand right there. Come on up one step. There you go. Okay. One, two, or three? Two. Middle of the road over the other side. Trouble girl. Okay. One. You beat a one? All right, you're right here. All right, you two can sit down just for a minute in that way, and you may sit down. Your name again? Lauren. Lawrence. Lawrence of Arabia. Okay, all right, I got it. All right, the first thing we're going to look at, turn your Bibles to James 4:14, okay? James 4:14. Did you hit your knee? You okay? You're fine? Suck it up, Bucky. Amen. All right, here we go. What's the matter with you? Okay, now watch. Here you go. Now watch. Now, the first life that we're going to illustrate tonight is somebody who's self-directed. Somebody humanistically, ready, watch, who thinks they know everything. And the way they base on what they do and the way they live is by what they hear from everybody else. Social media, I won't go down the whole room. But they think they know everything because of that. I love you dearly. Okay, James 4:14. Somebody's going to read that one? Why are you all looking at me like I can quote it? Brother Gus, go ahead. No, you're sitting down? What in the world is going on with this church? Whew. Okay, so let me help you here. So when I was growing up, the number one thing I wanted to do in life, I lived in an inner city of Philadelphia. On my block was the 4400 block of Garden Street. There were 50 houses on each side, probably the largest block in the city, 100 houses. The average, 3 to 5 kids living in a house. When you came out to play, hundreds of kids were out there. The game of the century was Nintendo. That gives you a little clue. I'm not as old as dirt, but I'm pretty close. Okay, so now watch. So my waking hours, all I wanted to do was to play basketball. I wanted to play high school basketball. I wanted to play college basketball. I'm getting ready to go to high school, and we're playing baseball during the summer. We win the championship. Now, here's what we did. When my buddies and I, we would drink a 32-ounce bottle of soda, try to drink it as fast as we could without it coming out your nose. Sounds a little nutso, but that's how we rolled. My record is 19 seconds. Now, back then, you drank soda out of a glass bottle. Oh, yeah, it cost a quarter. Hello, can I get a witness right there? And our economy's doing really great right now. Thank you very much. I'm going to the Dollar Tree and I'm seeing a soda like that and it's $1.75. I thought this was the Dollar Tree. Anyway, we won't even go there. So I'm self-directed in what I want to do. And in 14, we win the championship and this girl comes to me and she says, you need to come right home. Your mom wants you to go shopping. I said, Loris, I don't go shopping. Women go shopping. They go down every single aisle. Even if they have a list, they go down every aisle because something else may be on sale. Can I get a witness right there? Come on now. Don't wimp out on me, you know. Come on now. So I said, Loris, I don't go shopping. Now, when my dad would drop us off at school, he would drop us off and he would do two things. Number one is he would make us kiss him goodbye in front of the whole schoolyard. Do you know how embarrassing that is? Hello. There's people like making fun of you because he's kissing you. And then he said, tell me you love me. Might as well prolong it a little bit. You know what I mean? Lawrence of Arabia. So now, if you did not do that, then my dad said this comment. You ready? And you probably heard this before. He said, I brought you into this world and we could take you out just as easy. Hello. So you can either do what I tell you or I can knock your teeth out. I mean, big choice. Amen. So I'm 14. I'm going to go to high school. Back then, to go to Catholic high school, it was $795. That was 1970. A lot of money. Now, my brother, and I got to get going here. My brother and I could eat you out of house and home. Okay, this is not a cereal bowl. This is a cereal bowl. A mixing bowl is a cereal bowl. Can I get a witness right there? Come on now. I mean, who in the world wants to eat a little snack bowl? What, are you crazy? And my brother and I, we could pretty much polish off almost a box of cereal and a gallon of milk. We needed a cow out back, but the problem was it was concrete. Amen? Couldn't have a cow back there. But they did back in the day. They did deliver the milk to your house. Amen? So anyway. So I come. My mom says, so Dolores says, you got to come home and go shopping. Okay, I'm going. So I come home. So I come into the house. And when you walk into the house, I could sense there's something wrong. Hey, I want you guys to give me like a 5-minute warning or give me 15 minutes, okay? That's like right now. But anyway, 10 minutes, amen? All right, now watch. Here we go. So now watch. So I get home and I could sense something's wrong. Now, Dad always told us, I want you to know something. If nothing else, know this and never forget it. I love you. Your dad has your back. He loves you. And so, basketball, that's all I want to do. And I come in the door and I can sense something is wrong. Now, Mom and Dad taught us, you don't barge into your parents' bedroom. You always knock on the door. So I knock on the door and my mom says, come in. And she's crying. And she said, Joe, I don't know how to tell you this, but today your dad had a massive heart attack and died. Now, you listen to me very carefully at 14. I'm thinking to myself, why'd my dad die? Why some loser dad can't die? My dad, the one who works. Now, listen to me very carefully. Life is about to change for the Kaiser household. Mom doesn't have a license. We live in a city, everything gets around with public transportation. She doesn't pay the bills, dad pays the bills. Dad goes and makes the money, and mama raises the kids. And I'm thinking, you're gonna have to do something. You might not be able to go to high school at the Catholic school unless you're gonna work your tail off. So I went down to Delicatessen we had at the end of the block, and I said, Mr. Jack, could I get a job? He said, sure, you just have to be here 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm thinking, roosters don't wake up 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm a teenager, and you want me here what time? Now, you listen, do you ever think of stuff in your head, but you don't ever say it? Oh, yeah, we live there, right? Come on. Now, dad taught me 15 minutes to a place is on time. On time is late. So that means I got to be there 4:45. He said, we have all these truckers come in, a big trucking concern down there. They come in, they get sandwiches, and then they go to work. They're driving on the road, and they're on driving trucks. Okay, so I work there from 5 o'clock in the morning to 7:30, get on the bus, get on a trolley, and go to school. And the whole time in my mind, I'm thinking, I am not going to be able to play basketball. That's all I really wanted to do was play basketball. Can I help you today? Listen. Did you ever have some plans in your life that you thought you wanted to do, and all of a sudden it's not working out that way? Do you know that God may be changing your plans? Do you know that maybe it's not his plan? Maybe it's just your plan. Hello now. So you have to be open to what God wants you to do. And I'm not even saved. I'm going to Catholic school, Catholic church. So I get a job. I work in the morning there. I come home. I eat. I go work at the Catholic church. I'm a janitor. I come home. I work Saturday and Sunday. By the time I'm 17, I could buy my mom a new car. I buy her all our appliances, put new carpet in, the whole nine yards. But listen to me very carefully. I became, you ready? Self-directed. And I started hanging around the wrong people. And then I started to go to the wrong places. And by the time I'm 18 or 19, I'm pretty close to being an alcoholic. Because I got money. And I'm not carded. And I'm just acting the life. Watch it. Because I was self-directed. I'm getting money for you. You're welcome. Because you are a little high maintenance.
Okay.
I think the other one over there is a little more high maintenance than you.
I agree.
I agree with that, right? But you are the kind of person, though, that knows a lot of things. Amen? That's for the tithe.
Okay.
That goes in the offering. Don't rob God. Thank you very much. You're welcome. Give her a nice round of applause. Thank you very much. All right, first life is what kind of life? Now, if you don't give it the program, come on. All right, Lawrence of Arabia, come on up here. Okay. What's the matter with you? Don't you pay attention? Was she standing on the carpet or is she standing on the wood? Thank you. He was an intern? Okay, I'm just checking. Okay, the next life is this. You ready? Ready? Is a selfish-directed life. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Why are you looking at me that way? Can you turn your Bibles? Why are you looking at me that way? What are these crazy people? I'm going to quote a turn there. What do you think you have a Bible for? Duh. Thank you very much. 1 John, 3 John's Jude and Revelation, keep it simple, stupid. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? All right, the Bible says, love not the world. These are the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passed away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth for how long? Okay, now you listen very carefully to me. We are living in a world where people are trying to program you to be selfish. And they don't want you to reach out and help people. They're telling you, hold on to what you have.
But what you forgot about is, if you're a Christian today, you forgot about God. Now, I could go on all day and all night about God. Seriously, I could, but I don't have time. But let me ask you a question. How selfish are you? I mean, could God go and say to you, give up your last dollar, and you'd be willing to do it? There's just something inside of us that we have to hold on to the last dollar. I was at a church in revival. I usually give out what's in my pocket. I just give it away. And the preacher said, yeah, I used to do that too. And then I stopped putting money in my pocket. What? So let me help you here. Do you know there would be no financial problems in our churches in America today if we just gave what belongs to God? I've been around a little bit. But there's just something about people who get selfish. I had a young girl. She was in my youth group. I was in inner city Philadelphia. It was Bethel Baptist Church. Her name was Denise. All she cared about was her. Did you ever meet somebody, all they care about is them? We have a youth activity every Friday. Says, oh, why are we going to do that? Did anybody ever want to slap somebody? I wanted to slap somebody. Not allowed to slap her, but I wanted to slap her. Amen. I wanted to slap the girl. But the bottom problem that she had was she wasn't saved. And when she got saved, her life got changed. And then she said, I like that guy. That's the pastor's son. You ain't even getting close to that guy unless you change your life. And little by little, she changed the way she was. Listen. Woo, this is good. Listen to me. You cannot view people where they are. You have to view where God can take them. Or just stop working with people. You have to look beyond that. Because the devil will have you focusing on where the problems are and what they're going on. And then all of a sudden you have to say to yourself, well, you know, I don't have any problems. What? How many here have problems? Raise your hand. If you didn't raise your hand, you got problems, you don't even know it. Amen. I'm just saying. You're messed up. Lawrence of Arabia. Hold on a second. You need a dollar or two. I'll give you change because I can trust you with change, right? That's 50 cents. You put that in the offering, okay? Give him a nice round of applause. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. My man, Pots and Pans, you're up here next. I make names up for people. That's just how it rolls. Okay, first one is what? Second one is? Okay, here we go. Third one is a stubborn directed life. Stubborn. Okay, so I have two boys. There's 10 years between them. I didn't plan that. God did. The first one, when you spanked him, he knew if he got in trouble, he got to spank it. He didn't like pain. The second one, you could spank him from here to here, and then you tell him not to touch anything, and he'd go in like this. Touch it. Do you ever deal with somebody like that? I don't know how that kid even survived his life right now. He was beat from the time he woke up till the time he went to bed. Yeah. Like, do you not get it? Hello? Stubborn. Mm. All right, 2 Corinthians. Turn there. One of the verses, 2 Corinthians. We're coming around third. 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Andrew, man. That's you, bro. There's a lot of Andrews in here. 5:10. Please. Whoa. How many? All. Do you think you're getting by with anything? No. We act like we are.
Right.
We live like we are.
Right.
We act like God's not watching us.
Right.
Oh, it's getting really quiet right now. But that's how we act.
I'm sorry, go ahead. Andruman.
Thank you. You know, Listen, I used to get in trouble in school a lot of times because I'd speak up when I'm not supposed to be, when I'm not spoken to. And I had some nuns. I had this one nun in seventh grade. Her name was Sister Immaculate. I called her Big Mac. When she walked, the floor shook. I am playing. One time we were supposed to go on this activity. I remember it's Peach Bottom. But we couldn't get a bus. So I just yelled out, just tell them Big Mac called. Do you know what Big Mac did? She came right down and she backhanded me and knocked me out of my seat. Big Mac was nobody to mess with. We had a kid, Jimmy Steelman, cut school. She found out about it. In the back of the room, she lifted him up off his feet and punched him right in his jaw. Yeah, there's no child abuse back then when I was growing up, amen? And my thing was this, if you called, watch. If you told your dad you got in trouble, you got beat again. I might be dumb, but I ain't stupid, amen? If they don't call home, I ain't taking it because I ain't getting another beating, amen? That'll be worse than the first one. Now watch. Stubborn. So I have this kid. He rides my bus. You might have heard the story. The kid's name was Ray Ray. And Ray Ray was 9 years old. Ray Ray was a demon. Anybody have a demon in their class? Always in trouble. So the pastor would say, Ray Ray stays with you. Now, I come from a bad background. Mom's on drugs. Dad was an alcoholic. So I'd pick him up. And what Ray Ray would do, he'd wear a white shirt. And when he'd wear a white shirt, he'd go all the way to the back of the bus, and he would climb underneath every single seat and come to the front and said, I made it! And his shirt would be completely black. Because you know our bus floors are not clean. You know what I'm talking about, right? I was thinking, when I dropped this kid off, is Mama thinking, like, what is going on with this kid? Hello? So for 6 months, we pick him up. Then all of a sudden, he had a nice sister. Her name was Kathy. So we come 6 months later. We knock on the door, and there's no Ray Ray. So watch. In my mind, I thought, get rid of the demon. Amen. It's awesome. But in my heart, kid ain't got a prayer. I'm driving a Sunday school bus. Well, I'm driving a bus for Vacation Bible School, picking up kids we're doing in the morning. All of a sudden, I'm dropping the kids off, and all of a sudden, I hear this, Pastor Kaiser! Just like that. City girl. Got lungs. Don't act like some of you in here can't scream like that. I don't even want to hear it. Watch now. So I stop. She said, Pastor Kaiser, we moved right over here. What are you doing? I said, we're doing VBS. She said, can we come? Me and Ray Ray. me and Ray Ray. I said, okay, I'll be there Wednesday. Okay, so I go out to pick Ray Ray and I'm up. But I never wrote it down. And what happened was I forgot to get Ray Ray. When I get to church, the phone rings. It's Kathy on the other side. Pastor Kaiser, I hate it when girls and women cry. I can't stand it. Will you go? Stop, you're crying already. So I sent somebody out, and they picked him up. Now, everybody knows Ray Ray's got to be with me. What's that fellow's name right here? Right there, ma'am, sitting next to you, your son. No, that one, yeah. Him. Matthew, come here, Matthew. I need you, buddy. Hustle up, Matt, man. All right, Matt, man's going to be Ray Ray, okay? Now, this is the only time you can run in church. You're going to run. I'm going to catch you in midair. Okay? All right? I promise I won't drop you. Okay? You look like you like to run anyway. You probably get in trouble for running. So, honey, go here about that. Right about there. A little bit more. Stop right there. So, they know Ray Ray's supposed to be with me, but they put Ray Ray in the class. When they put Ray Ray in the class, he's like being okay. I'm thinking, like, what happened to this kid? So he does the lesson, he does the snack, he does the game, and then he's the first one bolts out. And when he comes out, I want you to jump in the air and say, I got saved. All right, ready? Come on. Jump, ready? No, come jump to me. I'm going to catch you in the air. Run and jump in my arms. Go ahead. Come on. Ready? And say, I got saved. Come on, run. Say, I got saved. Say, I got saved.
I got saved.
Good, amen. Now, go in the back and pick five candies out. All the way in the back to the left. Five. I don't have any more money left. I'm going to give the money to the rest of the people. So now watch, yeah. Hey, now watch now. Now watch now. So I'm thinking, Ray Ray got saved. Watch it, ready? We'll see. No, I know you never think that way.
Yeah, help us.
Hello, come on now. Since when did you become God? And I drop him off, he gets on a bus, and he's different.
Amen.
Give my man a nice round of applause. Oh, yeah. Go ahead, bro. You can sit down there. Yeah. That's all your candy. Mom and Dad can get their own later. Amen. Thank you very much. I watch now. And I get him on the bus, and he's, like, listening. That's strange, huh? I drop him off. I go to church. Wednesday night church, I get a phone call. It's 8:45. I'm home. And it's Ray Ray's mom, Kathy. She said, Brother Kaiser, Pastor Kaiser, there's been an accident with Ray Ray. Could you come to Children's Hospital? I said, sure, what happened? She's like, I'll explain it when you get here. Where they lived, the new place they lived, right down the street, was an abandoned warehouse. The kids had cut a hole in the fence. And what the kids would do is they'd go up and climb on the abandoned boxcars. And they'd run up and down. I lived in the city. You make up stuff to do. Like, I tried jumping trains, boxcar trains. I'm thinking, like, you could get killed. Are you stupid or what? Duh. Anyway, so Ray Ray goes with his two buddies. And he's first up the ladder. But what Ray Ray does not know, that above his head is an Amtrak wire with 30,000 volts. And when Ray Ray climbs up the ladder, his head hits the wire, and now he does the next most unthinkable thing. He grabs the wire to take it off his head, and now has created a ground through his body, shot the electricity out the side of his leg, threw him off of the ladder, burned his clothes completely off his body, and turned him charcoal black till he fell flat on the ground. His two buddies were so afraid that they left him there. And mom found him 2 hours later. Now, you listen to me. I still remember like it was yesterday. She said, when you go to see Ray Ray, he doesn't look like he used to look. And I look in there, and I'm thinking, I got to be strong for this kid. And I look in there, and they got him on a morphine drip, and they got him packed in ice, and he's going to have to, if he lives, he's going to have grafts and everything else. Charcoal black. And I pull up alongside of him, and he said something to me I'll never forget as long as I live, and I hope you never do either. He said this to me. He said, Pastor Kaiser, he said, I know I'm going to die. He said, but could you make sure my mom and dad get saved? I'm going to tell you exactly what I did. I fell right to my knees. I said, this kid, who's the demon, has got more of a heart and souls for people than I do right now. Now, I know you're perfect and you don't have that problem right now. Come on now. When's the last time you walked by somebody and you didn't really care? Like every day? Come on now. I'm talking to me this tonight. Do you hear me? I'm talking to me. Like, God puts people in our way, and we're not even paying attention. You know why? Because we're so busy about the wrong things. Seriously. 10 days later, Ray Ray dies. I do his funeral. We pray. We fast. Ray Ray's mom and dad, they're strung out. They can't even handle it. Two aunts could say we rejoiced. But really burdened about those people. Here's a 9-year-old kid. So all he wants is his parents to get saved. About a month later, I get a phone call. It's her. It's his mom, Kathy, with the other Kathy, his sister. Mom and dad split. And she moved to Wildwood, New Jersey. And she said, do you think Pastor Kaiser, you could come down and visit with me? And I took my wife. And we went and visited her. Then a little while later, my wife led her to the Lord. She got saved. She said, could you show me where a church is? I took her to a church. Church was open. Nobody was there. But I hooked her up with a church. Listen now. Here we go. And I got to be out. I should have been done a while ago. Watch it now. First one is what? Second one is? Third one is? Thank you.
All right, last one. Hurry up. You got to hurry up. Hurry up. You're holding me up. The last one is a surrender-directed life. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a what kind of sacrifice? Living, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye renewed by the, watch it, the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now you listen to me and I'm through. I got saved July 6, 1980. I was 25 years old, sitting on the second pew. July of 1982, God came knocking on my door of my heart. And he said, I want you to surrender. And I said, if I surrender, you're going to call me to be a missionary to go to Africa. I ain't going to Africa. Lions, tigers, and snakes. I don't like snakes. Not even a little bit. Hello? He said, well, your problem is you're just disobedient. What happened to mercy, grace, and love? No, that's not what you need. Now, listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. I'm standing here today because of what I did July of 1982. Now, you listen to what I did. I got up out of that pew, and I came down to an old-fashioned altar, and I told God this. I said, today, I'm surrendering my life to you. If you want me to be a missionary in Africa, I'll go. But today what I'm going to do is I'm going to make myself available. And I'll be willing to do whatever you want me to do. And God said to me, because you surrendered, I want you to work with kids and teenagers for the rest of your life. So you listen very carefully. I'm nobody, but I got a God who's somebody. And I could go on and on of the kids and the teenagers who've been reached with the gospel. And it has nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do because of God. And God might want you to do that. Because I'm going to help you here today. We need help. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And the dollar is 6. Thank you very much. Give her a nice round of applause. Preacher, that's you. I'm done.